This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
So let's actually get into it without the sarcasm.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
We continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Mick Schaefer will join us eventually here in the show. We'll get the cuts coming up later on in the hour. We have talked a number of things around the NFL. We've talked a lot of K-State basketball as they get ready for Florida Atlantic coming up on Saturday at 5:09, not 5:10, because that would be too late to start a basketball game. Who wants to stay up that late? 5:08, good God, let it rest a little bit, okay? Let's wait so we can have some anticipation build up. 5:09, perfect. 5:09 on the TBS coming up on Saturday for K-State and the Florida. I mean, they can be called the Florida Athletic University, too. The Owls. The Owls. I think Wildcat would beat an owl, right? In the wild?
You'd think so, but those owls, escapability is huge, and they do have big claws.
Yeah, claws matter. Claws matter, and you know what? They can see the entire court.
That's true. Their court vision is Marquise Noel levels.
Also, like the vision, just in general. Like,
yeah,
their vision.
I mean,
good luck. Good luck.
I think owls have small brains, though, because their eyes take up so much of their head. I do think they actually have small brains.
They're stupid.
Which is funny, because owls are often thought of as being wise, but that's actually just... I don't know why that trope started, but
humans being stupid.
I don't. That's exactly right, which we're also very good at.
It's humans with their stupid brains that the eyes take up way too much of their skull. Plus, if you had a big brain, you couldn't turn your head all the way around like an owl.
Owls don't have such relatively large, well-developed brains when tested in captivity, haven't shown above-average intelligence.
Idiots.
That's from NewScientist.com.
Well, guess what?
It's the first thing on Google. It's got to be true.
That tells me that K-State's going to be the smarter basketball team tomorrow.
I think that's right.
What I hear from that is owls are stupid. So K-State gets the win. We've talked about some other NFL things going on. We've mentioned the Royals. Zach Greinke will get the start on Thursday. There is news around Daniel Lynch. It was concerning yesterday when he left the game. Brady Singer started 3 innings, 4 hits, 1 run, 5 Ks, no walks, so a pretty good outing from Brady Singer. Daniel Lynch then followed him up 2 innings, gave up 4 runs, and then left the game and had some issues with his shoulder. Quatrero didn't exactly give off the most positive feel when he said, it wasn't great. They'll look at it. You never know. Sometimes you get some good news when they go in and look at it. Like, oh, okay. Well, they went in and looked at it. It feels like they may have dodged a bullet. He is going to start the season on the IL is Daniel Lynch, which means that a pretty good chance for Chris Bubich now to make the starting rotation. So the other 4 seem to be pretty much locked up who the Royals are going to have. So, Zach Greinke announced as the opening day starter. Brady Singer looked good yesterday. Daniel Lynch on the IL.
Only thing I'll add to that is that 2/3 of an owl's brain is devoted to the senses of hearing and vision, which leaves only 1/3 of its brain available for other cognitive functions.
Yeah, they can turn the ball over, it looks like.
I think that's going to be an issue. Owls are very cool, though. That's I'm having to re-experience how neat owls are.
Would you rather be... this feels like it's right up the alley of a Mike Leach.
Where
he feels like there should be more of a broader spectrum of animal mascots, that there aren't enough sharks.
Oh, God,
Pitt State
absolutely.
Gorillas,
the Youngstown State forever. We only got one penguins in D1. Are you kidding me?
That's right. The Palestines or whatever it is.
Yeah. We have the...
is it the Egypts?
Yeah, we have the the Jericho Marchers and the Philistines and the...
It's got to be something here.
Paladins. The Paladins is Furman. But I like the Philistines and the Palestines and the... We're really going to get... stretch our wings here, intended.
What was Texas A&M Corpus Christi?
I have forgotten.
Yeah, I've forgotten too. But Youngstown State, they were the Penguins.
Islanders for Texas A&M Corpus
Texas
Christi.
Texas A&M Islanders. That's right, Texas A&M Corpus Christi. The Islanders. So we've got those. But yeah, Wildcats and Tigers. We've got a lot of those out there. You know, not as many Owls.
We need some weirder... We need the Peregrine Falcons. Like, really... Really be specific. We've got Golden Eagles.
Okay.
So, I mean, you can be more specific.
You can be a regular eagle.
Right.
Because you've already got a golden eagle, so now you're really starting to become more diverse in your animal nicknames.
Be the metallic eagles. Like, really lean into that.
Wow. What if the... You don't want to be the silver eagles, because then you feel like you're one place behind
the golden eagles. Yeah.
You don't want to do that.
The Wildcats could just rebrand to being the Kansas State Power Cats, and that right there, like, there's more... That is already more unique. Jayhawk is a mythical bird. Kansas deserves credit for this one. I know we're very, very used to a Jayhawk around here, just like it's a normal thing. It's not. It's like the Griffins, which we also have pretty locally, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, which is mythical. Is it better to go, like, creating a animal out of thin air? Or, you know, actually naming after something that is more rare that it's been named after? Like Mike Leach has said, a shark. You know, need more shark mascots. Gorilla.
Number five for your Mid-America Minotaurs. That's pretty good. I think more mythical is probably the way to go.
No, no goldfish out there. No, nobody's named.
You want to have a short memory like a goldfish if you're playing at least right. You know, defensive back or something. So
yeah,
do that.
Defensive back, you.
What if it's the golden fish? Now it
could be that too.
That's still you're losing to the golden eagles though. Golden fish versus golden eagles is a bad matchup.
Yeah.
You can't have golden fish. You know what happens to golden fish?
They get eaten by golden eagles.
They sink.
A lot of things sank last night, mostly shots from K-State. Marquise Noel, a historic performance, 20 points, 19 assists, 5 steals, 3 rebounds, only 2 turnovers in the entire game. We played this in the first hour, the montage, the mix of K-State and the night that Marquise Noel had, and enjoying it again, and reliving a little bit from what took place last night in the win over Michigan State. We play that again here as K-State moves on to play Florida Atlantic.
That's a beautiful pass by Noel as he sets up David Gasson.
I never meant to call you.
Noel drives it, could leave, and Keontae Johnson. What a combo these two have become here.
They banked in 2 shot clock threes, and they made some big plays, but some of those plays weren't big plays. They were lucky plays.
Noel pounded out there by Tyson Walker, an excellent defender. Oh, what a pass! My goodness! Oh! Tomlin scores it. Great catch by the big man. And 1. Noel tried to turn the corner. Cannot. Redirects. Kicks it to the corner. Here's Johnson. Pass. Keontae Johnson set up again. Noel finding Tomlin. Gets the other side of the rim. Lays it in. Kept alive by Johnson. Tomlin ends up with the board. Here's Noel for 3. Oh! He walked away from it. He knew it was good. 3-point game. Noel moving fast. Leaves it for Johnson. Great defense here to get him into the Sweet 16. Noel finds Carter. Perfect pass. Right on the money. And Carter knocks it down.
I want to be some kind of friend.
Over to his buddy. And another one is down for Ish Masood.
Baby, I can never steal you.
Another turnover. Michigan State gives it away. On the run out. Noel. Noel playing on a bad ankle. He finds Masood again from the logo. Masood.
Purple rain.
Noel cutting to the basket of the big man. Tomlin finds it. Return of the favor.
Purple rain.
Noel, hot pass. Runs it down. Puts it up. Late clock. Are you kidding? Okay.
I mean, this is just awareness of understanding the shot clock, time and score, get it up. Maybe if you miss, there's an opportunity for an offensive rebound, but what a heads-up play.
Coach in 1 minute. Noel shakes home. Noel with the mid-range jumper. The fadeaway from Noel. He's cooking. Malik Hall is on him. And Noel going to work. Oh, what a pass. And Johnson is there for the dunk. Just drawing all the traffic, the vortex. Noel gives it to Carter. Straight line drive, and he lays it in. Noel and Masood, 2-man game here. Looking for the back door. He gets it. Carter. Great pass. Gasson puts the Wildcats in front. Noel drawing a lot of traffic. Bounce pass into Gasson. And he lays it in. A
assist number 17 for Noel. Second most in NCAA tournament history. Jerome Tang sets it up. Going for the lob! Keontae Johnson on the receiving end.
You fall asleep on the back line. Just throws it up and he gets behind him.
There's the pass, and it is Massoud, and Massoud hits a huge shot. They're down three. Here's Hauser, gives it up. Clock ticks, Hall finding Walker. Walker already stripped by Noel. Ball is loose. Noel comes out of the path. Noel dribbles, and he lays it in. Count the basket, and Kansas State wins it. Wildcats are headed for the Elite Eight. What a game!
Said it in the first hour, tweeted it out last night. If that was an artist, it was a magnum opus. It was an absolute, it was artwork last night from Marquise Noel. And he was just painting that canvas, and it was dynamite. It was one of the more impressive, incredible performances that I can ever remember. And just, it's one thing for somebody to have a lot of points or rebounds and assists. It was the fact that he was controlling the entire game, in charge of everything. It was just, it was incredible. Mick, hi.
Mozart can't paint that well.
He can't. He's terrible at it.
I had you in the first hour. You got us in the last hour.
That's right.
We're a team right here.
That's exactly right. Yep. Pavlov.
It popped into my head.
His dog
too
couldn't
easily.
Do that.
I figured it had been said already.
Yeah, it was said. But yeah, it was absolutely right. I said that, you know, I also, it's weird that it sounds like, you know, oh, come on. But I did feel lucky that I got to watch that last night, that performance of like,
yeah, okay.
Just remembering.
You got a low bar for stuff, but yeah, if, I mean, that makes you feel lucky. I mean, there's millions of lucky people out there.
I'm now, talking about like from there, a sports perspective.
If you were there, you should have felt lucky. I texted that to Mackenzie Nelson last
yeah.
night. I'm like, of course, she's a big K-State fan.
Mm-hmm.
She went shopping for purple pants in New York City.
I'm like, purple pants.
Purple pants.
That sounded and great, guys. Cut that beard. Mark that. That's the beautiful, the most beautiful we've ever sounded.
Is Prince in here?
Feels like
is
it.
Prince in here?
He's not.
Yeah, I thought for sure you guys were going to come with me on that one.
No, the and I was like, this is an all-time game. Realize that. Okay, it's an all-time, you know, performance by Marquise Noel, and it's history being made for Kansas State. It is the story of the tournament right there. You're
yes.
there. I remember feeling that way for like three or four games. They were all KU, of course, in the tournament, right? The 08 there being, mm-hmm. you know, Mario's miracle. That
they seem to have some success in the tournament.
They do. Yeah. 2018, KU-Duke Elite Eight was maybe a better, the best game I've ever seen personally.
The ball just sort of hanging on the rim.
Oh,
and
there's
so many moments in that
so
game.
So many moments. A Duke team that was better than KU. Really, but KU figured a way around it, and maybe a couple others in the past. But yeah, that's one. If you're there, and if you're watching from home, I guess you should feel lucky that you were able to turn it to TBS.
Well, I mean, we could have watched UConn Arkansas. You know what I mean?
Nobody watched that, as it
right,
turned out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is like we got that game, 98-93 in overtime, where it wasn't just a bunch of open shots and lazy defense. Like it was locked.
Oh, I think
there's
a lot of lazy defense, but.
I don't know. I think the guys were trying
early
to get stops.
I'm like, okay, K-State, if you're going to figure out this rebounding issue, which I never really did.
Yeah,
right?
There were some offensive
but if
rebounds
you can continue
over there.
To hit shots, they yeah. did. Things are going to be fine. And they were, barely.
Effort and energy
yeah.
was there. It wasn't like there were guys that were just like going through the motions. They might have gotten beat on a play.
Effort.
But
yeah, but I mean, Michigan State didn't shoot 52% from three-point range with a bunch of hands in their face.
They did make some of those, though, with hands in their face.
And they had some open shots.
And they had some drives that were converted with guys that were there. There were tough shots.
That's the funny thing about like the lucky comment. I'm like, you shot over 50% from three-point range. That's pretty
yeah.
fortunate, right? You exceeded right the mean there. And look, what was the banked-in three was 12 and a half minutes left? In the game, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Gasson Is that the other one he's talking about, Gasana, which wasn't banked
which
in.
Which wasn't banked in.
And it was 14 and a half minutes left in the first half.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get a bucket back. It happens all the time, every game. The plays down the stretch, none of those were lucky. I mean, the lob to Keontae Johnson, that was pure brilliance, majesty. Mm-hmm. Right? The inbounds play, the patience of that inbounds play to get Masoud open, and the bounce pass, that almost touched the baseline. And to get it to him, that was not lucky. That was well executed. All those plays, that was like, you could tell, I like Izzo too, and he wasn't really, malicious about it, right? Mm-hmm. But you could tell that he brought it up, so he's bitter about it inside.
Well, I think the frustration would be, and not from Izzo, but from people that are, and watching. And again, I like Tom Izzo, but the frustration would be like it's sort of weighting him the same. Well, they had some big plays. They also had some plays that weren't so big when they got some lucky shots. Okay, well, there were two of those in the entire game in which K-State scored 98.
Yeah, and
so
where are
the other 92 points coming from? They had a lot of great plays, and they had some fortune.
Well, I can remember a series. Was it Tomlin or Gasan? K-State was about to open it up to like a 10-point lead. Gasan missed the dunk. It results in a 3-pointer at the other end for Michigan State. There's a 5-point swing right there. He missed the dunk, right? And so we don't mention the unlucky parts, right?
There were some and ones that K-State gave up that were brutal. Yes. Just under the basket, just little layups and about a bunch of body contact.
Up by four with a minute to play. When Michigan State goes up for the rebound.
Desi Sills fouled out on a foul. They never showed us a replay that looked really weak in real time.
But Tomlin goes over there and tries to knock the rebound away. He hits his arm, and as he hits his arm, the guys go into with the putback. It goes in, and they cut away in the shot of Jerome Tang of just like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Are you bleeping me right now? What? That just happened like on a rebound and a putback. His arm gets hit, and the ball goes in. Up four. Grab the rebound. You got the ball up for less than a minute to play. Now all of a sudden it can be a 3-point play. Yeah. That's not lucky though by Tom Izzo in the fact that the arm hits that while the ball is going in the exact right location and it just falls into the rim and you get an and one. Like you can create your luck.
I think Kansas. My point is, I think Kansas State still wins that game if he doesn't bake in that three. Right.
Well, I think they still win.
You don't just get to subtract 6 points. That's not how it works.
They lost 93-92, actually.
Yeah. I think they still win that game if Gasan doesn't turn around and bury a three to make it 12-9 or whatever it was at the time.
Well, and also on that banked in three, there were no, if my memory serves, there were no Michigan State players under the rim. Like, even if he misses that, K-State gets the rebound and puts it back. So it's two instead of three. Yeah. And that's what I said when he was talking about a lucky banked in three. Okay, the ball, it was a loose ball. Noel got it. Get the loose ball next time.
Loose ball, absolutely.
Noel dribbles around and catches his balance and turns around towards the bucket from the three-point line. Nobody within 5 feet of him. How about this? Put a hand in his face.
Because his release point was from his armpit.
His release point would be from somebody's waist out there for Michigan State.
Well, and he's this is a guy who makes a living from logo threes. I don't know if I would call, even though he's moving forward and he banks it in a rush, I don't know if I would call that lucky from Marquise Noel. He might make that 4 out of 10 times.
It looked like an alley-oop. I mean, physically, it looked like an alley-oop.
It almost
looked
like he's like, I got to get up on the rim, make sure it touches the rim.
Yep.
We got a chance for a rebound.
Right, but the luck doesn't happen if he doesn't grab the
and honestly,
he
had more time.
There was
like 2.5 seconds left on the shot clock.
That was my first reaction.
You're fine.
Throw it underneath. The guy's right.
Same with Masoud. Cool. He had 4 seconds. He had time to take a step back, hit that, and make it a four-point game.
Yeah. No, we talked about this in the first hour, too, that Josh, when they threw the ball into Masoud, and Masoud took the shot there when they were up one to put him up three.
I out loud went, no!
And I out loud went, good.
I didn't like it. It felt out of control. He did get his feet set.
No,
but,
and I just felt like, Mick, you're a basketball player.
You're a shooter.
Masoud had the range all night. From NBA, from Justin.
Salt tournament, man.
Yeah, but last night he wasn't missing. And as soon as he got the shot and it was open, I'm like, that's good. Because when you've got somebody who's a Division I player who's been playing basketball his whole life, who's taken millions of shots probably in his life, and you're locked in, you can take a shot from 15 feet, from 18, from 23, and it's going to go in if it's open. And that was an open shot. I'm like, that's good. He's going to knock that down.
Yeah, and what a story there. And look, it helps that, I mean, look, he's a sharpshooter, but he's probably on page two of the scouting report, okay? He's the guy who started most of the games last year, started zero this year, is kind of an afterthought, even for K-State fans. He's like a 5 points per game guy. And he, what, puts up 17 last night, right? Something like that, and hits the biggest shot of the Kentucky game.
15. And I'm still not, this says he was 4 of 6 from three last night. I don't remember ever seeing him miss a shot. The last two games, I think I've seen him miss maybe two buckets.
No, and I mean, look, it helps. I mean, you're not getting the best defender on Michigan State, yep. Kentucky checking you. You're probably getting the fourth or fifth on the floor, and they're sagging off because you have guys like Marquise Noel who can jitterbug through any sort of hole and get to the rim, and so you need help there. And so you're getting more open looks, and he's cashing them in. Swish Masood, baby.
Yeah,
Did you say that earlier?
Ooh, I like that. No,
should I come in on like the first hour of the show now?
It's good for us to bookend it, I think. Then I can kind of take this hour off from
the
jokes.
Early, it's earlier than now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Roughly 3 hours.
Yeah. I think right now you're having the line in the sand of only showing up for the first hour of the show. If it's at Atomic Cowboy Sports Saloon, Denver Biscuit Company, and Fat Sully's New York Style Pizza, then in Westport, you should go there.
How could it be at all three?
That's the crazy thing, Jason. It's all in one. You can put any of those things in your GPS. It's all going to take you to Atomic Cowboy / Denver Biscuit Company /
Fat
Sully's.
In your belly.
I did.
Great Britain. How many countries are in this country?
Exactly. That's right. But you don't need a passport to get from one to the other. They'll just give you a different menu or whatever.
But to your point about Swish Masood, I don't think Kentucky was all that upset that Masood took that shot late in the game on, what was that, Sunday. I think they were perfectly fine with that shot. Like, he's a couple steps behind the 3-point line. There's a guy guarding him.
You had the guy, on the line, up the line, but there was separation there to when, if you complete that pass, he's got an open look.
But if you were just
fine with that.
If you ask John Calipari, the ball's in Marquise Noel's hand late, or Keontae Johnson's got it dribbling around, or Ish Masood takes an NBA three. I'll take door number three.
Yep.
I'll take door three. He made it. On the flip side, Kentucky had a couple of open threes late. They missed it. That happens. That's the game. That's basketball. It's a make or miss game. I mean, you know, Kansas State hits three threes. They took advantage of the shots that were there and stepping up in big moments. They did it on Sunday and they did it again last night, which makes me think, what is there to say that they won't do it again tomorrow?
If you look at the box scores and maybe like just mark out the right sliver of like total points on the right side of the box scores. If you look at the last two box scores, just for a few seconds, you're like, well, K-State lost that game to Kentucky, right? They're out-rebounded by 20. They made 5 out of, like, 25 threes.
That's right.
Then you look last night, they're out-rebounded again. You see how well Michigan State shot from all over the place. You're like, well, no, they lost that game, too.
Yeah, they were 5 of 20-something from 3 against Kentucky. They were 3 of their last 4.
I was going to say, they were 2 of 20-something before, like, the 3-minute mark or whatever.
Because they were down by 4 points with 4 minutes to go.
And then he hit that three.
And they scored on every single possession
three,
the rest of the way.
Three ball, layup, three ball, and then free throw.
They were 3 of 4 from the floor, and they were 10 of 10 from the free throw line. And even the miss was an offensive rebound three.
Nice.
So they scored on literally every single possession. They averaged 2.4 points per possession the final 4 minutes in a round of 32 game in which they were trailing against a Kentucky team that's pretty damn good and long and athletic.
And who's he beat the last two rounds? I mean, but we talk about, and when you were gone for the last couple months, Josh and I were talking about, like, you know, he has this reputation.
I'm just learning about this Jerome Tang guy.
Tang has this reputation of motivator, like the real-life Ted Lasso, right? Just rah-rah. But
isn't
in the show,
amazing?
Ted Lasso knows nothing about soccer, right?
That's right.
We forget, I mean, he was on the bench with Scott Drew forever, and he learned a lot. I'm sure Scott Drew, we're learning, maybe learned a lot from Jerome Tang. They can coach at Baylor, right? They don't roll the ball out there. Mm-hmm. They have sets in game, and they know how to put games away. And we're seeing he's put games away against Cal and Izzo the last two games here.
And with the K-State game being what I don't remember what time it was on Sunday, but I think Jerome Tang and K-State have knocked out.
It was like the second game. It was like 3 o'clock.
I think they have knocked out the final two coaches that were remaining that had a national champion. So because of K-State, we're guaranteed that a coach will win their first national championship.
Right. That's definitely this year.
Already. And we have 12 teams left.
Yeah. Already. So I think K-State knocked out the last two, Cal and then Tom Izzo, which, by the way, Jerome Tang and K-State knocked out coaches that have won a national championship. Yep. And the nugget that I loved, we said it yesterday, is that when Tom Izzo was cutting down the nets to win a national championship, Jerome Tang was a high school basketball coach.
Yeah.
I mean, just...
And so I think I saw today, he's faced four national championship winning coaches this year, and he's beat them all. Split with Self and swept Baylor, right?
Yeah.
Baylor.
Wow.
And so you're 5-1 against those national championship winning coaches in your first year.
In your first year.
With a bunch of new dudes at a new school.
It's not supposed to happen like that.
It's not. And look, I mean, to finish my box score rant, I mean, Marquise Noel is the reason. I mean, he is the X factor there. I mean, you see all the twos they're making, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of those are layups underneath or dunks. Hoops above the rim. Yeah. And he's like, there's not too many, like, he's like the old, like, remember in the 90s? We had, like, passing with a flair, right, in college basketball. Jason Kidd was just amazing, right? Mm-hmm. He passed with flair. I watched Oklahoma State, so Doug Gottlieb was a lot like that. And so
chocolate at Florida.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Jason Williams. And so now you have that with Marquise Noah. And look, you take a little bit of the bad with the good.
Yeah.
But the good is far outweighed the bad. I mean, you put up with the 4-5 turnovers for 19 assists.
Yeah, and he only had two.
Two.
And Jerome Tang said last night, he was asked about those deep threes that he took, and he's like, I'd rather him do that than turn the ball over.
It's 2018 Patrick Mahomes. It's like, don't tell him what he doesn't know. Don't tell him that.
But just
let him go. I know he's jumping out of bounds, rifling it across his body 50 yards to like the fifth receiver on the team who's not going to come back to catch it. Just let him do it.
The storybook of Marquise Noel and Masoud playing in Madison Square Garden for the first time. And Noel has that performance, and Masoud goes 4-6 from three and hits a big bucket from NBA three at the top of the key and then hits the final shot of the game. Well, second to last shot of the game, I guess, because Noel's shot counted, which, by the way, my buddy texted me, is like, I've got a parlay, and part of the parlay is Noel to get 20 points. He got 20.
Wow. After the buzzer.
Yes.
After the buzzer.
The ball's on the rim in the air.
That was a crazy reverse layup.
Yes,
fast he's going and the English he's got to put on it and the amount he's got to deaden that ball to make sure it just doesn't clang off the backboard.
I told him,
the smart move there is, like, just dribble it to the corner. Throw the thing up in the air or whatever. No, I'm just going to go finish it.
I told my buddy, I'm like, I've got a parlay where I had the under of Keontae Johnson, 6.5 rebounds. He had 4.5. He ended up with 6.
Oh, jeez.
He had 6 with 6 minutes to go in regulation.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, well, I lost this. I'm like,
wow.
Wow.
So you had the under good.
Yeah, so I had the under 6.5 rebounds. I was sweating it. I didn't think I was going to win, but I ended up doing it. So because the easiest money on the board was Noel over 6.5 assists.
Nobody cares. Like,
no, people don't care about that, because tomorrow when they put the number
over
assists for Marquise Noel, take the over.
Nobody cares.
Oh, shit.
Take the over. Whatever the number is, take the over.
Nobody cares. 10 at halftime, didn't he? Or close to it?
He had 10. He had double-digit assists at halftime. So we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll continue rolling continue talking some basketball, some college basketball, as there's 4 more games tonight. Hopefully a couple of them will be anywhere near as good as 2 of those games were last night, and maybe they'll be right here in Kansas City. We'll have some barn burners and some great theater that'll take place. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll continue rolling. More Zone next.
Mick Schaefer in the Zone is brought to you by Atomic Cowboy Sports Saloon, home of the 2-story biscuit sandwiches from Denver Biscuit Company all morning, New York-style hand-tossed pizza all afternoon and evening from Fat Soli's, and 20 beers on tap all the time. Experience it today at 42nd and Pennsylvania in Westport.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
I'm going to get to this point, and then I'm going to stop.
Looking forward to it.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you, Josh Briscoe, Beards, Mick Schaefer, KSHB 41 Sports Director. K-State staying in New York for another day. We'll see if they get to Houston. Thinking of last night what Keontae Johnson said, going to New York, he wanted to win it for his teammates that are from New York. I've never been to Houston, so I'd like to know what that's like. So we got our sights set, our goals that are there, and certainly they can win it. They go up against a 9 seed. You beat a 9 seed, you head to the Final Four, And I know that Florida Atlantic is playing some good basketball, but boy, you would sign up for that 10 times out of 10. All right, K-State, Marquise Noel is playing some of the best basketball in America, and you beat a 9 seed, and you're in. And they're the Owls. Wildcats should beat Owls. I mean, that's just nature. Like, higher up on the food chain should be able to get that done. So we'll see tomorrow, 5:09.
What kind of Wildcats? Sometimes there's some little Bobcats out there.
Or there's just a small cat that's just wild.
Yeah.
And you
like
can't just...
like a feral cat. Yeah.
Just you can't house train them.
That's a great point.
You know, it's in heat.
Big Owls could probably get a few of those.
That's true.
Little cats.
All right, bracket of sound. We go through and we eliminate the teams that were eliminated last night from the Sweet 16, from the tournament, not advancing to the Elite Eight. Let's go ahead and start in the It Needed to Be Said region. And the It Needed to Be Said region, the Tennessee Volunteers. Tennessee Volunteers are out. And that means this this piece of sound, this soundbite, is eliminated.
Arian was telling me about how the NFL is rigged and how every year he used to get a script.
Yeah.
Day one of training camp that would get dropped off at his locker.
Mm-hmm.
And you would have to, you know, it was like week one, you'll do this. Week two, you're going to have a hamstring injury. Week three, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
Week four, you're going to get three touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you just have to, did you memorize those before the season started? Would you go and rehearse the script before every game?
We were really dedicated to it. So it was more so like that's what practice was about. It was about practicing the script. Like, this is what goes on and this is what we have to do in order to. Yeah.
And this referee is going to miss this call because they hate you and they love the Colts, sort of thing.
WWF. So it's like, you know, we know what's going to happen, but you just still got to put on a show.
Yeah.
What did you think when you got the script in 2016 that said your career was going to fall off a cliff when you stopped believing in God?
That was 2015.
Yeah.
So we lost that soundbite. Unfortunately, Tennessee out of the tournament, and so is that. Michigan State, by virtue of losing last night, that means this soundbite is gone.
It's utterly pointless. I mean, it's completely pointless. I'll tell you what I'm going to start doing with these ties. I mean, it's not really big enough to be a pib. It's just skinny. Okay, what's annoying about it? This knot squeezing your neck. Ingrown hairs on it after you shave, because typically tie things you shave. What I am going to start doing is, and I'll probably go to like Salvation Army.
Yeah.
Let me get some ties, and then I'm just going to flat out just wipe my mouth with it in front of everybody.
So if you it serves a purpose.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like eat a donut.
There you go.
Pizza, a little oil hill. I'm going to do that and make sure people see that to a point where hopefully they get rid of these things.
Yeah.
I mean, because that is madness.
Jesse Langford is your guy, by the way.
That's the guy.
New York in the 1920s.
Where'd he grow up?
He was a New Yorker in the 1920s.
Great to hear in New York.
Clothes maker. He used his extra clothes, extra patterns, I guess, to, for some reason, make neckties. That's what he thought would be a good idea.
Well, he's an idiot. when they invent a time machine, that guy's in trouble.
Love that sound. Like Michigan State
is
out. Yeah, neckties. He hates neckties, which is true.
Same, man.
As a person that probably has to wear neckties a lot, Mick.
Guess what happens when you wear a necktie as opposed to leaving that top button unbuttoned? You look a hell of a lot fatter.
Mm.
Ties make you look fatter.
All right, Arkansas and UConn. UConn dominated Arkansas last night. Everybody saw it coming. I tried to tell everybody UConn money line. I didn't. But that means that Arkansas's out, and so is this sound.
Hey, kid, would you like some drugs? The first one is free.
Want to check out my van? I got some candy.
Hey, kid. Want to join our gang and spray paint under a bridge?
No! No! Bug off, man! I'm going roller skating! I want to be addicted to roller skating, not crap! Because we roller skate today, we will go to college tomorrow. Prison is full of people that have never roller skated.
I'm Brad Armstrong, owner of Roller Kingdom in Reno, Nevada, keeping your kids off the streets since 1999.
I say no to drugs. I say no to gangs.
I say no to unplanned pregnancy.
I say no to meth.
I say no to reefer.
I say yes to roller skating.
Man,
And this Roller Kingdom is really putting us out of business.
You said it, man. This deal sucks.
But you know what? Maybe we should give up this life of crime and start roller skating.
It's too bad. It's too bad Arkansas is out. So no longer can we say no to unplanned pregnancy.
That's an 8 seed?
Or meth. It's a strong tournament.
There needs to be an oversight committee.
They made
the
Sweet 16.
Yeah.
Sometimes magical runs happen.
Well, you know what? They would still rather be going had they been like a 1 or 2 seed.
What if they were Arizona in a 2 seed?
Yeah, or Kansas. Yeah,
they would have beat Princeton.
Or UCLA.
Somehow.
Somehow it would have come through. Also, Gonzaga, UCLA. We had the nipple matchup last night, but with UCLA losing, that means we lost this.
Do you guys want a teaser for the cuts that we'll get to later?
Yes.
By chance?
Yes.
They might or might not involve some McNipples later.
Okay.
McNipples.
Like
right.
Mix nipples or a McNipple? Is that like
can I get McNipple, can I get a large unsweetened tea and some McNipples?
Take six or 12.
Take a Big Mac and
six count
honey
McNipple.
Do you want the Mc? Yeah, we'll get let's get two McNipples. We got a coupon.
Kids? No? Okay, no big deal. Nope. All right, just
want honey mustard or sweat with that.
There we go. That is out. So those clips have been eliminated.
That's sad.
Yeah, it is.
But also beautiful sad. Because, man, what a year. What a year we've had.
It's been a strong tournament. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We will get into the cuts on the other side of the break. I'll also ask these guys a trivia question. I'm going to ask as we go to break, though. Before we go to break, remind me of the trivia question I'm going to ask. And I say before we go to break, we're supposed to do it right now. But.
What trivia question?
Before that. I want to ask Josh who's going to raise the roof.
I'm going to be out there at P&L.
Okay.
And they're at KC Live on stage receiving St. John. He and I tonight will be raising the roof, brought to you by Shamrock Roofing and Construction, where one call does it all. But I also think I'm going to go with Houston and Texas tonight in Kansas City. And I'm going to go favorites, Bama and Creighton. I think you take your four winners. If you're looking for your parlay, that's a pretty good just four money line winners. But that's not been what Mick's been doing lately. So don't take my betting advice.
No big deal.
Don't take my betting advice. Do take my roofing advice, though, with Shamrock Roofing and Construction, Kansas City's local, residential, and commercial roofing contractors. One call does it all with Shamrock Roofing and Construction.
And I would also say go ahead and pound the over 7.5 at DraftKings for Marquise Noel assists.
We just pounded it all together.
Yes, yeah. We did. Minus 115.
Three of us just pounding it.
Minus 115. Trivia question for you guys. You can think on it on the break.
Okay. What if I know it already?
You could.
Seven.
Marquise Noel.
If Kansas State wins the tournament, it would be back-to-back teams from the state to win the national championship. How many states have had teams from the same state back-to-back national champions?
Okay.
We'll answer that and play the cuts next.
Mick Schaefer's brought to you by Atomic Cowboy Sports Saloon. As seen on Food Network, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, and Man vs. Food, try it today at 42nd and Pennsylvania in Westport.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Very disappointed. I wanted to play like 30 more cuts.
Should have brought
you hiding them somewhere?
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we'll get to the cuts, but let's get an answer to this question. As K-State, they are one win away from the Final Four, but Kansas won it last year. If K-State wins it this year, it would be back-to-back teams from the same state. What states have done that Kansas can then join? Josh?
Beard says he thinks he knows one.
I think I know two of them, actually.
Okay,
go ahead.
North Carolina and Kentucky.
Those are my two slam dunks.
Yep. North Carolina's done it three times.
Okay. Yep.
Can I guess the years?
Yeah, go ahead.
92-93
was Duke, then
was
UNC.
91-92-93, basically. 3 years in a row, right? And then 09-10 was another
UNC,
time.
Duke.
That was the one I remembered.
And then what's the third?
UNC and then North Carolina State, 82-83.
Oh, Jim Valvano. I was thinking Duke.
Yeah, exactly. NC State. Yep. And then UK 2012, Louisville 2013. What's the other state, Mick?
I'll take a jab at California without knowing.
I'm going Ohio.
That's right.
61, 62, 63, Cincinnati, Ohio State. Is that the
60
order?
60 to 61. 60, Ohio State, 61, Cincinnati.
That wouldn't have gotten
didn't
that.
Cincinnati win back-to-back, though?
Yeah, but it does. Oh, we're just going with the different schools. So the back-to-back
I know,
is not going to
yes,
count.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, like Florida winning back-to-back doesn't count for Florida. Two different schools. So Ohio,
winning like 10 in a row.
Ohio, North Carolina, thing, Kentucky. Right. Maybe Kansas?
Wasn't it Ohio State, Cincinnati like 3 years in a row in the championship game?
Yeah.
yeah. or something like that.
Yep. But North Carolina's done it three times. And NC State's
California's had UCLA. Yes.
Yeah.
And they had San Francisco went back
to
back.
Dons.
Yeah.
Where you at, Bill?
And they never have.
Yeah. All right. So we have 2 minutes left for cuts. Okay. Which means that we've got a lot that will carry over to next week. Beards, give us your best. Give me your Marquise Noel. Give me your best performance in a limited amount of time.
I have a purple thong on. How about that, K-State fans?
That'll do it.
What went through you spiritually, emotionally, when you saw that sandwich arrive? And then when you... I'm going to pick out some pictures here in the next break, but put it into words for us, TV man.
Well, I immediately thought of my mom's home cooking and how trash it was compared to this. Then this compares to my wife's cooking. If my wife was a 16 seed and this was the 1 seed, that's the comparison. They belong on the same court on like a Thursday to begin the tournament. That's it.
Do you know why you can't hear a pterodactyl pee?
Because the pee is silent.
That's right.
Yeah, it was something. They're brothers, right?
And cousins.
Brother cousins.
And one is the uncle of the other.
Utah. I mean, at least they found the right spot.
Anderson. Jeez.
That family tree is a circle.
It just doesn't branch.
It's a shrubbery.
It doesn't branch straight up.
It's family bush. Oh, no.
Hey!
I needed its spine to complete a circuit. You got to put your nipples where your mouth is.
There we go. Thank you, Mick.
Well, thank you.
Appreciate all the hard work today. We'll see what happens this weekend. Monday, we'll talk to you. The Final Four will be set. We'll be heading to Houston next week. Let's see if K-State and the Wildcats and Jerome Tang are going with us.